You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Everyone, welcome to episode 22 of Bras, Bitches, and Balls. It's Pi Day. It's Potato Chip Day, which is appropriate, given one of our guests. Also RIP Stephen Hawking. You know, it's a weird day, mathematically and, you know, all that. So today's guest, we have Karen Divis talking about potato chips.
Amy,
who will be talking about
goats,
city girl
goats
farms. So goats and soaps. Lisa is here and no doubt has questions. And here's Lee.
Welcome back to Bras, Bitches, and Balls. Okay, so it's been a very interesting couple of weeks. We got lots of fun things happening forward. Black Women Rock is happening this weekend. Did you know that?
I think you mentioned it last time.
Yeah.
But I forgot that it's this weekend.
And tonight is their art opening. So we're going to go see Sabrina Nelson and Jessica Caramore and all of their lovely artists this evening and watch them do some lovely things.
And also, sports-wise, Detroit is hosting the NCAA, and my Spartans are playing in Detroit on Friday. And on Thursday, they are having a practice session that is free and open to the public.
Cool. What do you think? For Spartans?
Down at Little Caesars Arena.
I cannot support Spartans, but I do support their playing basketball in the city of Detroit.
I'm like, what do you say? Go what? Go Sparty?
Go green.
Go green. Okay, go green. Yeah.
Just for today.
Well, it is almost St. Patrick's Day.
We can say go green.
Corktown
then,
Parade was last
Sunday. I don't
Sunday.
Understand that. Why was it last week?
Because they always do it the Sunday before St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
So if St. Patrick's Day, unless St. Patrick's Day falls on the Sunday, it's always the Sunday before.
Okay. Well, I mean, if that's just the tradition. And
two weekends. Weekends of fun.
Yeah.
More green beer.
I've never thought that could be healthy.
Yeah, it's just food dye. It's the beer part that might be the problem.
Not the dye.
What's the problem there? Mm. Okay, so there is a lack of mannequin in the studio today. We got some awesome news about a competition that my son is in. He is a robotics builder at 10 years old, and he is 17th in the world for his robotic skills and was invited to the world championships last night. And we got the invitation
Holy cow.
So when I was supposed to be getting prepared for the podcast, all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, celebrations. Yeah.
17th in the world.
17th in the world with his robotic skills.
He's 10 and he needs a resume.
I know. He can program things and make them move and do tasks. And he built the robot.
You never get to pick the channel at home. He can, like, create a robot to block you or something. I love this kid.
So, yeah, it's kind of out
That's
of left
exciting.
Field. He was 256th in the world last weekend. There was one more opportunity to show off his robot. He took a week and reprogrammed it, put it in the competition, exited 17th. So we were not expecting any of this.
And this is on an individual level.
It's a team level. Okay. It is a team level. The unique part about Lively is his team dissolved earlier in the season. People just lose interest. At 10, you can't always keep people focused. Mm-hmm. So his team dissolved. He was a team of one. He had someone jump in for state competitions for the last 3 weeks of the season. We thought that was really going to be it. And then now we got to figure out substitute drivers from other kids from the robotics team.
So it's kind of like Trent Reznor is Nine Inch Nails. I mean, you know,
right?
It's basically
because he did all of the pieces parts for the project. Where usually you have like five or six kids doing all these things, he did every little bit. Anyway, yeah, there you go. He's the Karate Kid of his generation, in my opinion. So.
Nice.
Only with robotics karate.
Yeah. This is his sport, damn it.
When MIT comes
you
calling.
You can program it to sweep the leg.
There you go. So anyway, that's why we don't have a mannequin today, because I was very distracted. And of course, now I'm like, I want to build my own robot too. Can I play? And he said yes. So, which is good. I posted our Bra of the Week on our Facebook page. And the Bra of the Week is really a bralette, because it is going to be the season of the bralette. Bralettes are now starting to come out in larger cup sizes. The one that I posted actually goes up to a G, and I have ordered a different company who goes past a G with some of the different bands. So you'll see that also in the store.
So if you have a bralette and you are a larger size, does that mean that you're basically gonna not be in the same place that you normally would, or do they have more support than a smaller?
It's not a wired bra,
right?
It's a bralette. It's you know, a sweatshirt is still a shirt. It's not a dress shirt,
right?
But this particular bralette that I put up actually provides a lot of support.
Okay,
and it looks like a top.
Okay,
so some of the people who've put it on, they could actually in the summertime wear this as a top. And with a skirt or whatever, if you like, don't mind your midriff showing, or if you want to put something cute on it. It's lacy, but it's double layered, and it's very solid. So this isn't something light and cute that you're going to put on your boobs are going to sag down to your waist,
okay.
which is nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be 16 with just firm flesh. You can, we can wear them if we want to. Those of us over 16. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking about
Speak for yourself. I'm perky.
I was just going to say, my flesh is really quite great. So
I'm going to stop talking now. Lee is quiet. So there you go. Bra of the Week is a bralette by Parfait. I brought it in black. We were really, really happy with it. That's in the store right now. But I have, because we've been really successful with it in the first few days, it's coming in ice blue.
Ooh.
Oh, gosh.
Ooh. Sounds pretty.
Yeah. And then I doubled ordered it. It will be featured in Chicago when we open the Chicago store in April.
Yay.
Yay. A few things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bra's coming to the masses.
So, okay, other things going on. I know you have seen. I've not seen it, and don't spoil it for me, because I'm going next week for my birthday with my sister. Yeah. And Nick, I don't know if you've seen it, but Black Panther? Oh. Thoughts?
Oh,
responses?
Yeah. I've seen it.
It's amazing.
A few times. So
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
It looks amazing. And I saw an article you were talking about how the fashion industry was going to change based on, and I've seen a few articles about that. Now, about bold colors and patterns becoming
great
the
necklines
thing because of Black Panther, how it's going to change the fashion industry.
Mm-hmm. People are going to be focusing on the décolleté and the throats and dynamic hairstyles and bold color. Yeah. I tell you, that movie was a lot of fun to watch, and I can't wait to see what else is happening. The previews for we saw the previews for Venom. Of course, my husband looks at me.
Oh my God, I love
what is that? I'm like,
Venom.
That's Venom, dude.
That was great too.
Fun. That is Venom. It was a lot of fun.
Tomorrow night, I'm going to see the other. I believe it's Black Producer, A Wrinkle in Time,
which
is one of my favorite books growing up.
Director.
Yeah. Is it director? Like, Black directors. Yep, yep. So
April DuVernay.
Ava DuVernay, and of course Oprah, but. It's been interesting to see that those two are like the, you know, on the top of the list right now, given the Oscars so white a couple years ago.
Things are changing, and that's a great thing.
Yeah. Yep. That was one of my favorite books growing up. So a girlfriend and I are going to go see that tomorrow night.
Well, Lively hasn't read it yet.
I didn't realize that there was a series, though. I only remember reading the first book. So
now
I have to go read the whole series.
Well, that's true for a lot, like The Giver. Two. The Giver. The
Giver had a follow-up?
There's a series of books from The Giver.
Really?
Yeah, that you can just stop at The Giver, though.
Yeah.
I would really...
I was going to say, I mean, The Giver was good, but I don't think it was...
It ends perfectly.
Yeah,
you don't
like
need...
kind of like, why do you have any follow up to that? That's
and yet
kind of
there
where
are,
it needs
there
to
are
stop.
Four more books.
Really?
Well, it's... I'm excited about that, yeah. And then Ready Player One.
Yes. Oh,
Lively's reading that one. And
the
he
language
won't put
for
it down.
A kid is a little bit harsh, but my son has read it multiple times now.
How old is your son?
He's 12.
Okay.
And he has been introduced now to all these 80s concept. I've caught him singing Dead or Alive, spinning around the house. Like, now this is his thing, and he is ready to go see that movie. And so it's going to be huge. I have a feeling Steven Spielberg, from the early reports on it, knocked it out of the park.
Good.
So I think so many kids are going to be reading that now.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty high-level stuff for a kid, too.
I'm right. excited about it, but he wants to finish the book before he goes
I
to see the
I know nothing
movie.
About Ready Player
yeah,
One.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
It's
it's a virtual reality.
It's a big nostalgia thing mm-hmm. for, like, boys.
Oh, is this a like a Stranger Things stuff. But movie kind
no.
of?
No.
Like, I mean,
no,
not in a horror,
like,
but like a
it's
throwback.
It's more like living in a computer-generated world.
So like Tron.
Yeah,
only with way better graphics.
Kind of yes. minus the whole kidnapped by a computer thing.
And they have to go solve a mystery. A very wealthy person hid something in this
program. Like an Easter egg of sorts.
Oh. Yeah, and so they're all trying to find this. It should
I
be.
Actually,
so it's
I
like
actually
geocaching post... in a computer.
Yes.
Kind of.
There you go.
Kind of.
But yeah. It's life or death.
Yeah, you know, I posted something today, actually, which is called Ready Player One Girl Edition, which is... quite funny if you've read Ready Player One.
So this when did the book come out? It must be somewhat recent.
It's yeah, fairly
it's
recent.
Recent.
Like
5 years for sure.
5 years.
And then the movie will be out in the next month.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got – do you have questions today, Lisa?
Of course I do. I have lots of questions.
Always.
Do you have questions about goats or books?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were talking about books and books coming out, and Karen is back.
Yay!
Because not only is it National Potato Chip Day, and she wrote a book about potato chips, but also she has a new book coming out, and I want to know about The Secrets of Detroit.
I am. I'm in launch phase, which is a very daunting phase where you're trying to think, how can I get the word out about this book? And not kind of overwhelm people with, hey, Karen wrote something else. So that is the part of the joy of Secret Detroit is it's all new to a lot of people, which surprised me. I really thought everybody was aware of all this fun stuff all around the city. And I'm finding people even who work in Detroit for 20 plus years are like, I didn't know that. I actually stumped a friend of mine who's a local historian as well. She didn't know that like Wayne State has a mortuary science museum. And you can go see all
I
this
stuff.
I knew
that stuff. They had a department, but I didn't know they had a museum.
Inside the department.
Oh, field trip.
Oh, it is fabulous. It's a little room.
You guys, last
week, it's not too big.
We had a punk rocker on, and his partner, his life partner, does crime scene investigation.
Like real ones.
Oh, no, I want to hear that one.
The Detroit Police Department.
That's right up my alley now.
Yeah, we're like true crime, and he's like, oh, you got to know about my life partner. She does this, and then he told us some of the scenes that she had stumbled upon,
it was
terrifying and fascinating.
Terrifying and fascinating all at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a local guy who's a lie detector specialist who speaks too. And he says some of the things he's seen and heard he could not repeat. And I'm like, no, really?
Come on. Tell me about it. Share it. So I saw a picture of a car sculpture.
That's one of my favorites. Is a friend of mine, a photographer named Sal Rodriguez. When he found out I was doing the project, he's like, come on, I'll take you out there. I'm going to show you these places that I know about that you don't, because he's like a graffiti specialist. Mm-hmm. And he follows all the artists around, and he does documentaries on them putting up these massive ones, like everything from Shepherd Ferry to Hence, all the places around Detroit. So he took me out one day, and I bought him lunch as a thank you. But the car is like a... driven across the United States by this artist, and he got to Detroit. It was the Great American Road Trip. He's a British fellow. And when he finished, he put it on a loading dock of an old sugar factory right outside Eastern Market.
I've seen it.
It is like a stone's throw.
Really?
Yeah, that's what got me. Is like I have driven past and through. Yeah. Exactly.
It's on its.
Huh. I'm planning on going down to Eastern Market Saturday. I'm gonna have to look.
So it's on a little side street. I want to say Oliver, but I'd have to double check my notes. That's really there's the Can Artworks. That's like a block off of Gratiot, and then right beyond the Can Artworks, which is worth seeing too, because he's got all the kind of like little art park next to his place. You see this giant car just upside down, perfectly vertical.
It looks like, you know, Thelma and Louise.
Yes. It landed that way. And I guess he got a bunch of bikers to help him weld it there. So it's even got a great backstory of how it came to be. Yeah, it's amazing to see. And you're like, I've lived here or in this area my whole life. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know any of this stuff existed.
Huh.
And then there's right in the field across there is this gorgeous like two-story container house that's now an Airbnb that's been painted by one of the local graffiti artists, and it is spectacular. And so we just kind of went around all summer long last summer and saw all these places and drove all over Detroit and saw everything you could see because I had to see it in person. I couldn't just phone it in and look it up on the internet and look at pictures. You know, Google Earth will let you get away with that. No, this was in real color, talking to people, walking around, boiling heat, freezing cold, didn't matter. And it was amazing, both the historical monuments, but then all the oddities, you know, the weird stuff like the giant bowling pin in the Mi Pueblo parking lot. You know, you can take a little selfie.
Don't know about this either.
It's just crazy spots.
So what is your favorite secret of Detroit?
I like the historical ones because I admit I have like no background in history, American history, any kind of history. So this is to me has been a huge education as I go. So the one that I fell in love with was kind of figuring out the places I'd either read about in a book, like Austin Sweet's house from Ark of Justice.
Right.
I still have
or
to read that.
There was a famous Supreme Court case involving two different couples that basically abolished redlining. So you couldn't say, you know, African Americans can live here, Caucasians can live here. We're going to block you by, you know, federal law. Mm-hmm. That case was overturned by a family here in Detroit in part. And you can go see their house. That was the big dividing line. Like they were encouraged to more or less be sued by their neighbors to have to leave. And that case got to the Supreme Court. And the McGee house stands right there in the city near Tyreman. You can go buy that house too. And to me, like the wall as well, the famous 8 mile wall, that still stands. That blows my mind. The neighbors, I guess, actually like it because it's a decent fence line. And so they've painted it so it looks less garish and symbolic of basically evil. And it's been adapted into the community, but it's up against a city park. So there's all these kids playing and running around
on the other side.
And on the other side of this thing that was built to create racial inequality. And you're just like, mind blown. I had no idea. Or when Gordon Park got rededicated, that's the site more or less of like where the 12th and the 1967 riot slash uprising slash rebellion, how they redid Gordon Park.
Yeah.
And the day we happened to go there, my daughter and I were going to go take a picture of the new sign they had put up. They were having a massive park rededication. So there were bands and people met some great folks and just walked around and couldn't have been more delighted with seeing a place that had been sent into ruin, be brought back to this glorious public park with a stage and all this room for opportunity. And it's, again, a city that is so alive, so many, you know, 300 plus years of history, all tried to compile into a little tiny book, as it were. So I joke, you can throw this thing in your car and just as you're driving around the city, check mark everything that you have seen or not seen.
Oh, that's great. So, it can be a glove box gift for Christmas.
Yeah. I love this. This is, and it's nice that it has oddities, but also some historical stuff. This is one of the things that when I talk about geocaching, I like doing because they'll often have geocaches hidden places like the, you know, the old Underground Railroad stop in Greektown or places like that that are historically significant. So it'll force you to go there to go find the cache. But also you learn about something that like I was in Tempe, Arizona, went to Phoenix for a conference. And so I did some geocaching around Tempe. And there was an old restaurant that was one of the first places that was when Tempe was founded, you know, so it was like there's the geocache and you have to read some information and provide the data so they know that you were there. But it's neat because you get like the history And not all of them are like that. Most of them are just, you know, you find something hidden.
But it's going to encourage you to really get cool. off the highway and look instead of, you know,
and it's
taking the safe way.
And the historical stuff is really interesting because, like, you hear about all of this stuff, but you have no concept, one, especially of the civil rights, how recent it was, and two, how much of it, like, you don't get the personal.
Yes.
You know, like, you can, like I said, I still have to read Arc of Justice. It's been on my list to read forever, but you can read that, but you still don't get the personal connection to it until you go, wow, that was Ossian Sweet's house right there.
That
right.
was one that I went to by myself without the kids that day and drove up to it. And I'd read Arc of Justice enough that I was like, okay, I kind of feel like I've got a basis in this story of this man, this doctor who wanted to do better by his family. And this house meant the American dream to him. And he was going to defend it to the death, basically. But this white mob surrounds it on their first night there. And just, it sounds very dramatic and very movie-esque. And you can kind of picture it in your head. But then you pull up to this house and it is the American dream. It is this little beautiful bungalow and it's painted blue and it's at the end of the street and all these neighbors are out doing their lawns and they're fixing up their sidewalks. And so it has this like immensely home-like meaning to you all of a sudden. Like, I would have defended this house too. Like, you're now there. And I remember just being in tears and some guys were out fixing the sidewalk in front of another house. And they're like, why is Whitey girl standing on the street crying? And I'm like, to have it mean something beyond, again, the words on the page or an internet site, and to have that depth of experience in your own city, so to speak. Because, again, I've covered Detroit as a reporter for 20 plus years. I hadn't seen all these places until I kind of forced my own hand. My list was like 120 and I had to narrow it down to 90. And so that was tough too, because it's like, oh, there's so many great places.
Right. How do you decide which one's not going to make it?
Yeah.
Right.
I put some real obvious ones that like everybody knows, and then some that were like, oh, this is new or different, or someone just put it up last year, like the TARDIS, the Detroit TARDIS that's up now.
There's that a TARDIS?
Yeah,
it's a little library.
Yeah, he made it so that when you even open the doors of it, it makes the noise that the TARDIS makes, you know, now, because he's really taken it to the next level.
The Quonset Huts. Friend of a friend. If you want me to reach out, we could probably get them one here.
So do you have any animal-related stories?
Now that I got to think about. Were there any animals?
So I got to tell you, whenever anyone mentions Easter Market, the first thing I think about is when I lived over in East English Village and was watching the news one morning and there was a little bull that had escaped.
Yeah.
And he was running around on grass.
There is a giant cow head on Mac Avenue.
That was in 8 Mile.
Yeah, that was the 8 Mile cow that they fixed up for that. And it used to be on a dairy farm. Or like a milk store in Detroit. Yeah. And they had two of them, one on the east side, one on the west side. Uh-huh. That thing was hilarious, too. Because, again, I'd always heard about it from friends. All these things that are like, oh, yeah, go buy this, go buy that.
So your book should be in every Airbnb in the city so that when people come in.
Wait, you can't have Airbnbs in the city.
Well, I'm curious about that because I keep seeing Airbnb
on the down low.
Right.
Being advertised. And I thought, wait,
well, they dialed back on it, didn't they?
I don't know. But the interesting thing is, if you, really I just watched, I think I mentioned to you, Adam Ruins Everything, which is Adam Conover does this thing, and he did it on, I don't know if it was on affordable housing or what, but basically it was that there are people who will go rent units for themselves, but then not live there and completely just Airbnb it.
Yeah.
And so then it increases the costs of, you know, rental housing because they can make more Airbnb-ing than just renting a year-long lease and living there. Yeah. So one of the issues has become that Airbnb in many cities is pushing housing prices up.
And taking over affordable housing that somebody could be in.
Exactly.
And you know, we are a capitalist society, so there is part of, okay, I understand capitalism. You found a place to make some money. There you go. Maybe that's supplementing your income. But as a society, what are we doing to our housing?
Right.
And what are we doing to the tax dollars that we've put in to subsidize hotels and different things that we've had being built in the city? New Orleans is going through the same kind of thing. I had shared that out there too with the question of Airbnb, that it's taking the monies that have been put into the tourist centers for the hotels. Now people are living more in the neighborhoods when they're visiting New Orleans, and it's taking away what the tourist hotel, dollars right. were going to be, and the taxes and the fees. And
which,
all
you know, we tax those, and then sometimes that tax revenue is used for things like stadia.
And schools and different things. So there is some question as what are we doing with the Airbnb? Is that going to stay? Is it going to go? It's just like with Uber and Lyft and taxi medallions, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So anyway, so Karen, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm really excited about your book. When is it coming out? Where can we buy it?
It's out April 15th, so a couple more weeks. I hope to have a little copy in my hot hand soon enough, and it'll be all where books are sold, so local booksellers. Pages and I are working on a date. I'll be there for one of the book events.
Mm-hmm. Anything in Midtown?
I hope.
Okay,
I'm talking
to
a couple of copies done in the Chicago store.
Yeah. I could take him to the Chicago store.
I'll take you up on that.
All right. Yeah. Cool.
See, I think your book should be given to summer camps and make it like a day trip for kids so they can learn.
That's really what I'd love to emphasize to people is that my kids went everywhere in Detroit with me. And they have since they were babies, because when I was blogging for Time Magazine for their assignment Detroit project, the kids went everywhere with me then too. And they know this place, like they know where Milwaukee Junction is, and they've been to the Packard and did the tours and, you know, different places that if you demystify both the city and its history and they can understand it and tell it. And then the next book event I actually do is at their school. So their librarians like come in and talk about Detroit to these kids. And now they'll be like, oh, mom, take me here, take me there. They were not strangers to any city now. They can feel comfortable in any place. And that's my goal as a parent, is just make them feel like they're citizens of the world and no place is off limits.
That's great.
And one more thing I want to say before we move over to Amy and Goats is Karen has been getting great accolades for the prior book that she wrote that she was on last fall for writing The Witch of Del Rey.
Witch of Del Rey has been a great surprise in a way, because I have been able to effectively use its gospel to both dispel any myths about Rose Verez, the subject of the book, but also use it to inform with Del Rey a little bit, because it's gotten more attention as that Gordie Howe Bridge is going forward and they're tearing down all these different what I call cultural landmarks out there. And thankfully, a lot of publications from the Free Press to Bridge Magazine are all covering now what's going to happen to the residents and what has already occurred there that led it to be where they have to be bought out and moved elsewhere within the city. And it's a good thing for their health, because there is a lot of concern about the environmental risks of living in that area. But it also will revisit how do we treat both people as far as their long-term residencies in areas where we want to develop, and this idea of gentrification and all these things that Detroit really needs to have these conversations about now as development is starting to ramp up. And I hope the residents of Del Rey get a fair shake. It seems like they're going to, but it continues spotlight on these kind of topics. And if the book can do that, great.
We should send the book to My Favorite Murder.
Yeah.
That's a podcast that Lisa and I both listen to. I think Karen and Georgia might enjoy it. I did.
Send them a little care package of that and some of Melanie's artwork.
Yes, absolutely. Awesome. Well, I love your books.
Thank you.
I love the fact that you come on here. So thank you very much.
Not at all. Thank you.
Potato chip day.
Yes. Go eat some chips.
So, and Nick brought, it is pie day, of course, 314. Yeah. And yesterday was 313 day, but we don't have better made chips here, unfortunately, Karen. But we do have potato chips for National Potato Chip Day and pies, little mini pies for pie day. So thank you, Nick.
Well, Lay's was a partner to a Detroit chip company called New Era. So Lay's and Pringles is also out of Battle Creek. It's a Kellogg's product.
I had no idea.
They bought it about 2 or 3 years ago.
Like, what?
So if you eat those chips, you are legit on National Potato Chip Day. I'll give you a dispensation.
Lay's, you get a pass.
Yep.
I was going to run by the store and grab some Better Made on the way here, but I didn't, which is good because 696 was closed down to one lane for pothole filling.
Nightmare.
Happy March, everyone.
I worked with a family member from the Better Made company one time, and She came in and brought me chocolate covered potato chips, a 10 of them. And I was like, you are just evil. Evil. That is so unfair.
That used to be just a Christmas thing, and now it's year-round.
Oh, my God. It was
my
so
first
good.
Job was dipping things in chocolate.
Really?
Yeah.
You've had a charmed life.
Yeah.
Did you
we used to dip cookies, pretzels, potato chips.
Oh, what a delightful
them.
Job.
Was it chocolate?
No, Noah's Down Under.
Okay.
Okay.
So did you get tired of chocolate-covered
I
things?
Did.
Yeah, that's the I problem did. With they lovely things like that is then you're like, oh, this is gross. Like, well, after see, a while,
that,
you're just like,
that doesn't happen. I've worked now. In a pizza yeah. place. Yeah. I loved pizza. I worked in a donut place filling donuts at, 3 o'clock in the morning. Still had no problem with donuts. Just loved them.
Well, I don't have a problem with going out to eat in a bistro, but I've never been able to. Back when I was in college, I used to be a chef, and it's not a question of the hygiene of the place. It's just I've never been able to eat at any place that I've actually worked as a chef. Like, I can't bring myself after I leave
to go back
and eat there, because it's like,
that was my prison. I need to go.
Kind of. So
crazy.
Well, I think in restaurants you can be very forgiving because you've been there doing it, but then you also know all the secrets of what's going on in the background, and that's a horrible knowledge to have sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
So we've done some wonderful topics. Now let's do goats, which is also awesome. Did you know that I remember something about yoga, goat day?
That's what I want to know. Do you approve of goat yoga, or is that just crazy talk?
Well, we do goat yoga. It's just an opportunity for people to hang out with goats for an hour.
And you had a goat birthday party last year, which I missed.
We do. Every year we have a baby shower.
Did you have it already this year?
No, this year it's
save the
day after Earth Day. So it's the 22nd, I think.
Of April.
Yes.
April 22nd. Mark your calendars.
Yeah, we register at Target
baby shower.
For human babies. And then to come to our party, you just have to bring a new baby gift.
And do you get to hold baby goats?
Well, so we have lambs this year. We have Steve, Eddie, and Emma. And I don't have any baby goats. I may have to buy a goat, but we...
I have a goat puppy.
We didn't have any babies this year, so.
I mean, I don't have a goat puppy personally.
A goat puppy?
Yeah, a baby goat. So, we have
she calls
a goat puppy.
Everything for Lisa is a puppy. She has 4 at her home, so they're all.
Okay, got it. And none of them are actual puppies, but one of them is called Peagle, the puppy beagle. That's not his name. That's just his nickname. He comes. When he wants to come to it, he comes to that and Roo and Ruger, but he's a beagle, so sometimes he just chooses not to listen, regardless of what you call him, even if you call him asshole.
That works.
He's a dick. Okay. He is. We're fighting this morning. The older beagle is much more chillaxed.
2 beagles and 2 Rottweilers.
The Rottweilers are amazing, lovely, sweet, sweet, sweet. Well, the female is...
I was about to say, really?
Sweet, sweet. she only sounds like she's going to eat you, Lee. She loves human females.
She really does. Okay, digression here. But Minnie, so every once in a while I'll go and help with Minnie. But she, when you go in, automatically she's like, someone's in my house. It's not my mom. And she does sound like a Godzilla.
She's going to kill me. She will eat your face.
And she
also sounds like that when she has her Rottweiler rumble, which is like they kind of purr. They'll be on their back. And you'll be petting them and they'll be like,
you're enjoying this,
but you sound like you're going to eat my face.
It's very impressive. So I come in with lots and lots of treats just wait. And you have to let her do it for like 10 minutes. It's a long time. And I just start throwing treats. I'm like, Minnie, it's me. Minnie, it's me. Oh, Jesus Christ. Minnie, it's me. And then at some point she's like,
it's you.
Come in here.
And then I come in
and she loves me. But
she loves women.
For a while, she looks like a demon.
She does not like female dogs, so we have 3 boys and her. She's 10, so she's not going to live a whole lot longer. And then we have Ondex, who is 2.5, and he is...
He's really tall and skinny. He's
about
like a runway
this
model.
Tall. Yeah, I call him my runway model. It's weird. He's a very skinny Rottweiler. He may be part Doberman, I'm not sure.
He looks like he's part Doberman.
All of his siblings are very, typical Rottweiler, shorter, stocky.
But you can have... Girl dogs can have multiple male daddies in one.
They can.
Litter.
But he, I don't know. I keep being told he's going to fill out, but I don't know. But he is like a little sugar bear. He is the sweetest little guy ever. But
he's a nut bone.
I'm also an investor in a doggy daycare that a friend of mine from elementary school and high school back home, I'm from Northern Michigan, started. And on top of having the doggy daycare,
she has an animal.
She used to live on a farm. So we created a nonprofit farm sanctuary.
Oh, where?
So we it's in the Westlake area of Austin.
Mm.
And it's on the property of the doggy daycare. So there are a couple of pigs that were rescued from the Houston floods, mm-hmm. some miniature ponies, I think, now, some chickens. And we had a goat named Stevie. Stevie the goat is a little special. He's not as, like, interactive as most goats. He's kind of afraid of everything. So she got a nanny goat thinking that they would kind of bond.
Mm-hmm.
And the nanny goat was super mean to him. And then the day I flew in back in November, the day before, she was like, I was looking at the nanny going, she's really fat.
Oh.
And she called and she's like, what's going on? They're like, oh, she just eats a lot. And then she's like,
was Stevie not castrated?
Then, no, it was already pregnant when she got it.
Ah.
And she walked out into the barn and we have some feral cats that come in and she feeds them. And she thought one of the cats had gotten into the pen. No, the nanny is a little white goat. This was a pitch black little baby goat. So we have a goat puppy. His name is, so the nanny goat is Sunshine. So his name is Orion.
So did the goats need to be adopted? Do we need to go get the goats
no,
for Amy?
No, they are part of the farm sanctuary.
What's more goats, Amy?
No, I don't.
So the idea is that we will we have the farm sanctuary and she will bring in kids with autism, people with PTSD and depression mm-hmm. to come in and work with, you know, hang out with the farm animals. And then that nonprofit will also, she's done things like take medical supplies to Isla de Mujeres and to Peru, where they have a lot of street dogs,
mm-hmm.
And drop off supplies from the local veterinarians who drop things off. So right now she's actually in Puerto Rico with Steve O from Jackass, who also adopted a rescue dog from Peru. So she just reached out to him. And he is getting dogs spayed and neutered in Puerto Rico for poor families. And she, last I talked to her, was trying to commit to bring 100 dogs back from a sanctuary in Puerto Rico to various rescue groups.
I've been watching her on Facebook. She's been doing some great work.
Yeah.
But
Amy has goats that do work.
That do work.
They do.
So when I first met Amy, all I knew is that you made soap mm-hmm. from goat's milk. And I met you over at the Recycle Here facility over at Trumbull and Holden
mm-hmm.
with Matt and Amy's group.
Yep.
And fell in love with her and her spirit and her husband and your products. And we sold them, and we still have some detergents at Busted. And if anybody needs them, you can find your soap still in Whole Foods, right?
Yeah, Westbourne Markets.
In Westbourne.
City Girls Farm. We have not said the name of her company. So City Girls Farm soaps.
Yeah. And where else could you buy them? Do you have an online
source? We do.
Source?
So we have a website, citygirls.farm, and then you can get it. Our farm is located at Goldner Walsh in Pontiac. And so they have our full line of products in their flower shop.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
So did you make the soaps out of the goat's milk?
Yeah, we've been doing this since 2011. And we goat's milk from our goats. I freeze it. I make everything at 6 weeks start to finish. And then we expanded into lotions and laundry detergent, like you said. And then we started making things that aren't necessarily made with goat's milk, but they're the same thought process that we go into with our company of it being good for your skin, good for your body. So now we make a bug balm that you can put on you. Works. It's unbelievable
that
we use on our vacation. But then what we did 3 years ago, I think this year, when two of our goats had quadruplets and twins and four of them were males, and there's typically no use for males in agriculture
because you can't
you only
milk them?
Need one. So we had always had in the back of our heads that we would do conservation grazing, using the goats to tackle invasive species instead of using poison, instead of broadcast spraying of Roundup and Rodeo. So we kind of worked mm-hmm. on our business plan, expanding it with the male goats, and launched that officially last year. And starting May 4th, we've been hired by the Leelanau Conservancy.
May Yay. The 4th be with
Very
you.
Nice.
Yeah.
May the 4th be with
May
you.
May the 4th be with you.
And we're going to put 37 goats in the Clay Cliffs Nature Preserve to tackle garlic mustard.
Wow. And
wow.
Yeah. So what do you call that?
Conservation grazing.
But what do you call it? You have a special name for it.
Oh, we used to call it goatscaping.
Goatscaping.
But then people didn't, we're like, what? So we're like conservation grazing.
That kind of
sums it up in two words, more what we're doing.
Where they're like, are you manscaping your goats?
Yeah.
You're like, no, the goats are landscaping.
I'm picturing them like Edward Scissorhands, like standing on two legs and like they're carefully pruning.
Well, you know, goats eat anything. So I guess they'll eat anything that other animals
That's amazing.
Well, I mean, if deer ate garlic mustard, it wouldn't be an issue,
right?
But they don't. So that's why we brought in the three lambs. And so we're going to, we're taking seven of our livestock from Pontiac, and then we're going to, we actually had 30 goats donated to us by Idle Farms in Northport, Michigan. It's a huge dairy, award-winning dairy.
I mean,
up there.
I don't know about them, but I know where Northport is because a lot of the dairy industry is up there.
Yep, 30 goats to the project, and it's this huge team effort to make it happen. And we're going to be tackling over 3 weeks, like 5 acres of land.
Oh wow! So when you say donate, they're not.
They've given us the goats.
You're going to own the goats.
We're going to own the goats, so they run a closed herd. So once they leave the property, most farms, livestock owners run closed herds. So once your animal leaves, it doesn't come back.
Okay. So where do you
then store
all
dairy.
Of them?
Well, then when we're
done. Do you have space in Pontiac or are you going
to? So what we'll do is when we're done working, we're going to try to keep tagging on to get at least 8 weeks of work up there. And then we can keep the best grazers. And then I'm going to keep a couple to, breed, possibly. There's a gentleman who's helping us cart them around the Leelanau Peninsula, so he's going to get two of them.
Okay, I just have to say my visual of carting them around with a goat in a
videotape.
Little cart.
Yes, you must videotape some of this or Facebook Live them.
I Facebook Live.
I'm sure what you mean in terms of carting them around
in
a livestock trailer, but in my head it was like
just
a little
a
old wooden cart, like wheeling a goat around. It was a hilarious image.
You know, and try to sell some to farms, and then I mean, I have to be, you know.
Goats are tasty.
They are. And it's the.
I love them, but they're also tasty. I mean, I wouldn't eat one that I had named, but.
Well, no, but you know what? I mean, Michigan in itself is the largest importer of goat's meat in the United States.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I will tell you that, oh my God, I'm going to forget the name. El Barzon. They have a great goat dish.
I feel very, very bad talking about eating the goat.
So, you know what? You can't feel bad.
Bacon is its own, like, vegan killer. Bacon keeps me from being vegetarian so well.
Yeah, but pigs are very, very smart. And goats are not that smart, but they are cute.
Goats are very smart.
Are they?
Actually.
Are they?
But you have to think of it this way, too. I had a goat that she had broken a leg. So she was getting around on three legs, but the other goats were picking on her. It's a herd mentality. It's survival of the fittest, et cetera. It's the way nature works. So I made the decision to have her processed because the goats that broke my heart to put down, I bury. And I have like a little goat graveyard. And those are the ones that I say good morning to every day because they were super... You know,
now I'm going to cry.
I am too.
So I made the decision to have her processed because I know people who are hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And here's 50 pounds of meat that is good for you. And if you can't get to the grocery store, here's some meat for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm driving down Woodward with, you know, I do goats in a Jeep. I do it on Instagram and everything. And she's looking at me in the back of the window. And I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't. You seem to be fine. Maybe I should just turn around and take you home. And then I thought, no, because then if she, you know, gets picked on and gets another leg broken, you can't have a two-legged goat. I mean, there's just, you know.
Right.
And then I fed somebody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of, and I feel bad when people talk about, like when people ask if we're a sanctuary or a rescue, and it's like, no, I mean, this is a business
it's
plan.
A farm.
We're trying to do things to heal the earth, but realistically, it costs so much money to feed them over the wintertime.
Yeah.
That it's like, that's why you're going to go out of business.
Right. You have to make sound decisions. And having grown up in northern Michigan, I grew up poor. It was my dad hunted, and he hunted rabbits and he hunted deer. And so, I've seen cows processed. I've seen deer processed. And I don't just go to the butcher counter and go, okay, I'll have that without
No, like, right. You know, people eat meat and then like be horrified that people hunt.
Right.
And it's not for me. I'm not going to hunt. Right. But I understand, like, you know, it's better to cull herds than to have, you know, thousands of deer that are starving to death.
Yes.
And the same thing. It's better to feed a family. And like in Alaska, they, you know, if you hit a moose, basically what the state police do is they have a list of needy families. And if you hit a moose and you kill it, which will destroy your car because they're massive animals, you know, they're 900 to 1,000 pound animals, they will start calling down the list. And the first family that is on that list that answers the phone, they will be like, here's a, you know, here's a moose on the highway into Talkeetna. Do you want it? And they will feed families that would normally not get fed. And so it's, you know, not everybody is going to be a vegetarian. I like the taste of meat. but yeah, I also don't, I mean, like I said, I'm not going to process it myself and I'm not going to go hunting myself, but I've seen it and it's mainly a matter of like, I just don't want to.
And I don't hunt.
Do it.
And I'm not going to process either.
Right. But to take an animal to a processor and feed people is something that should be, I mean, it's something that's understandable and it should be done.
And it doesn't have to be without tears. I mean, honestly, there has to be a connection to our food. That's why everything is so broken.
Yeah.
Now, our daughter has been a vegetarian for almost 7 years. So she started when she was 11. And when we asked her why, totally respected it. We said, but you're a growing young woman. You have to know how to get the nutrients you need and everything. And she, when I asked why, and she said, well, because I never wanted to know where my food came from. And it's because I think I knew where the food was coming from.
Right.
And so she, you know, eats fish and everything. But I thought that's a great argument. I mean, because it's like once you start watching all the movies and everything, it's like it's horrific. So every time I've done this, I mean, I shed tears more than anybody. But, you know, fine line between businesswoman and farmer and animal person. Yes.
And you also make some excellent products.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I send out your soaps at Christmas time, and my mother loves them. So when she found out you were going to be on this show today, she called me. She's like, you need to buy me some more soaps and send them down to Atlanta. Okay. So that'll happen.
I mean, it is, you know, it's a super great product.
It's a great product.
People have asked us, it's a conscious decision for a lot of people to pay $6 for a bar of soap. But that's why we've never raised the price since we've been in business, even though sometimes our cost has gone up, is that no matter what your economic status, I think you have a right to have something healthy and good for you and put it on your skin.
And it smells good.
As opposed to, it's not just for a certain, you know, type of person. It can be for everybody, and it is good. And the best feedback we can get from this is with people who have skin issues or they're going through chemotherapy and it didn't hurt their skin to take a shower. I mean, that's the stuff that we're like, okay.
Well, that's her. She has skin issues.
And
where
the other
she has
thing I will say about it is that on the opposite end of, I'll eat a goat. I think they're cute, but I'll also eat them.
I eat them.
Is if you buy kind of like the name brand Procter & Gamble, whatever, most of those companies do animal testing. And as a beagle owner, most of the time testing is done on beagles because...
And just as a side note on a legal stamp, we do not know if Procter & Gamble has any...
Yeah, right. Disclaimer. I don't know that P&G does. There's an app called Cruelty Cutter where you can find out whether a particular brands that you use do animal testing. But beagles are often tested on because once you cut their voice box, which they do, they are very sweet dogs that are docile, and you can, you know, poke them and prod them and stick things in their eyes and do things like that to them. And then
you don't do that to your goats.
I do not.
You don't do that to your goats.
So knowing that these soaps are not going to be tested on dogs that look a lot like
they
my
were
dogs,
tested on my family,
but they're family tested, tested on humans. Is another reason to say, okay, well, that's worthwhile.
You can wash your dog with our soap.
Fantastic.
Which I will be doing with Dakota.
Yeah.
Lively spilled apple juice on her the other day and didn't tell us.
Oh.
So she's especially stinky.
Crusty. Yeah.
So
she's kind of
crusty. Crusty Dakota.
So you also do the laundry detergent, the laundry flakes, which I enjoy an awful lot. Mm-hmm. Those are fantastic.
So is that just dehydrated goat's milk?
No, it's a bar of our soap ground up.
Oh,
and
cool.
Then it's washing soda and borax.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
And you sprinkle it over your clothes. You fill it with water, put your clothes in, sprinkle it over, and it gets them clean. I mean, there's not really any smell or anything, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But again, it's a super gentle product, so.
So we have a birthday party coming up.
Pardon me, the baby shower.
The baby shower coming up. And
we do goat yoga.
And we can find, how often do
you
do goat
yoga? Yeah, how often do you do goat yoga? This needs to also be a field trip.
Yeah, we do it twice a month on Saturdays, and we do it
early in the morning.
It's at like 1.
Oh, okay. Why have we not gone to goat yoga?
I don't know. Why haven't we gone to goat yoga? I think we all need it.
So we use all sizes of goats. It's not just baby goats. I have a goat, Ren. He's 4 years old. He probably weighs well over 200 pounds. He's this
tall.
That's
a massive goat.
And we have had people use him for support. He'll lay down next to you. He's pretty amazing. So we don't just use like baby
Babies.
Goats.
I also need to know, do you have a Stimpy?
What's a Stimpy?
Well, you have a Ren.
Oh, ha, ha, ha. No, it's actually Ren from they all had themes when we started naming them. So the high school was doing Footloose.
I was just gonna ask.
So it's Ren.
That's beautiful.
And then the quads and the twins were all named after historical figures in the movie, in the Broadway play Hamilton. So we have Alex, Aaron, George, Eliza, Angelica, and Hercules.
No, Peggy.
I have a Peggy, and then I have Abigail as Abigail Adams. So then we started switching into strong women who formed the country. And then the lambs, I was driving home from Eastern Market, and I was looking at them. They were peeking, you know, lambs in a Jeep, and they were looking at me, and I'm like, Steve, I just need a sheep named Steve. And then it became Eddie and Emma just because, so.
Would the baby lambs just, like, walk all over my back? Because that would be awesome.
You know, they're
a little massage, lamb massage.
Oh my God. Okay, we have to put that on.
That needs to go on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Which one is that?
That's Steve.
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 So he likes to go for walks.
Do you put him on a leash?
I do put him on a leash.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I always felt conflicted about goat yoga, but if Amy approves, then I'm in.
Right.
I'm in. I'm like,
you know what?
Do they like it?
I don't know whether they like it or not. I just have to say it's more for people. It's like
if they didn't like it, they wouldn't do it.
Probably were out of your day.
Yeah,
just relax. Hang with some livestock. I mean, and just be.
I'm so allergic to hay. I think that's one of the reasons why I've gone.
No. We have a little, like last year I created a yoga studio outside in the pasture.
Really?
It's got a picket fence, and then we're going to put down a nice layer of sand.
Okay.
And that's what you'll put your yoga mats down. And then we'll spread hay around just to get the goats starting to interact a little bit, but you're not in the barn.
Okay, good, because I couldn't do it. When Lively was a baby, they do the hay rides, right?
Yeah.
And I thought, I can do this. I took all these allergy pills and got in the hay.
You're sitting on a bale of hay.
Sitting in there with him, and I don't know any of these moms because I wasn't like tied, you know, in the mom circuit where we were living at all. So I said, okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to be with these kids, and I'm going to meet other mothers, and I was just tears streaming, mascara running down my neck. And I was like, I can't do, what's wrong with you, honey? Nothing. I just am allergic to all this shit. Get me out of here. Can somebody else hold my child?
Awful. So do you have like a petting farm or I've been driving out to Ann Arbor and they have at Domino Farms, they have a little petting farm area where you could just go in and like, you know, feed them pellets or whatever for.
So we consider ourselves like a working farm. Most of the times they're just hanging out. But we have these double doors. So when you come to Pontiac, the double doors are there and you'll be greeted by the goats. And then we have two livestock guardian dogs, Gus and Annie, and they'll come say hi too.
Now I have a vision of goats in like Dorman gear.
Yeah. This is like some beautiful children's book come to life, basically.
Like if I had any artistic ability at all, we would have goats in a freaking like old timey wooden wheelbarrow and goats with 3-piece suits on and little hats.
Like the farm of the Biddy.
Biddy Acres. That's Biddy my Acres. Daughter. She's 18 and in college, but she says she deserves royalties because it all started because of her and her lactose intolerance.
She does deserve royalties. Absolutely. Yeah. That's
called college.
She's
going to college.
My kids, right. My kids claim royalties on the book because they're in a bunch of the pictures and they went with me on everything. They're like, we get 10%. And I'm like, of my 10%? Sure. Yeah. That's fine. Right. Here's your 50 cents now, kid.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
The way things actually work versus the way you think that they work.
Aye.
Business 101. So you're in Pontiac.
Yes.
Where are you in your farm? Where are you
at Goldner Walsh? It's the it's a landscape company on Orchard Lake Road, and it sits on 9 acres. And then add an additional 3.5 acres 3 years ago that we bought from Oakland County for $250.
Oh, that's nice.
And Oakland it's County. The longest running company in the city of Pontiac, Goldner Walsh is. And so because it's in, there's not a lot of people living around there. I don't keep any intact males, which means there's no smell of a typical farm. Part of it, because it's from 1890, is still zoned agricultural.
Oh, wow.
And we invested in a city that's not getting a lot of attention.
Yes,
and we welcome children and we welcome the people with Alzheimer's who remember having goats growing up and they don't remember anything else. And we did a bucket list for a couple from Birmingham that were in their 90s, and he was not there anymore. And she always wanted a goat, never had one. So her caregiver came and we brought out 2 baby goats and they got to hang with them for 10 minutes. So you know what? It's kind of like how Detroit used to be, ask forgiveness, not permission. Well, in Pontiac, it's like if you welcome in the community and if you're part of the community and you're working towards, you know, helping Pontiac come back, you can't, it's not you can do whatever you want, but it's like everything we're doing is positive and it's about kids. Yeah.
Now, you weren't always out there, though.
No, we tried to move to Detroit.
Yeah, and then they had the different ordinances that changed.
Yeah,
and
every time we said, you know, we want to come, we want to make our product, we want to hire high schoolers and teach them about small business and how it works. And if you think outside the box but have a strong business plan, you know, what can you do? And we met as high as the White House. And every time we said, but we want to bring goats, we never heard from anybody again.
What?
Right. Yeah.
If I were in charge, you would have had stuff going on. Goats would have been everywhere.
Goats can rule the world.
Or at least they can. The fairgrounds property right there.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, we had been looking at Brightmoor. I mean, you know Brightmoor. I mean, and we had looked at a house and we're like, that house would be perfect. And the time we were going through all these meetings, the house burned down. And then it was like, and at some point you have to, you know, you wake up every day and it's like slamming your head into a brick wall continuously. And at that time, we had an advisor from MSU. And I remember calling him and going, I don't want to do it. Like, I felt myself shutting down inside. I was like, I don't want to do this. And Pontiac, this business owner, Tim Travis, kept saying, come to Pontiac. Just come to Pontiac.
And Pontiac needs you.
It is the
way
best
Detroit
thing
needs
we
people.
Ever did. We just moved to Pontiac January 2nd.
That's fantastic.
We sold our house
in
Berkeley.
It's a beautiful historical city.
Oh, it's wonderful.
It
we
is
bought
a beautiful
big house.
Area.
I'm so excited to go to goat yoga right now.
I know. We're going to go to goat yoga. I do have some sad Pontiac news that made me very sad. And then I want to go back and I have questions, a couple more questions for you. But
well, we've got about 1 minute.
The bat zone closed.
Yes. Oh, that was a tragedy.
And I love bats. I now have a bat house that needs to be put up in my yard. But they moved all of the bats to the Detroit Zoo, who's providing sanctuary
and money. And other residents of the bat zone.
But it makes me very sad because I had never made it out there when it was at Cranbrook, and then I didn't make it out there when it was at Pontiac. So now I got to go to the zoo and see damn bats.
Well, there's something not right about it.
No, there was
very odd. And the gentleman who ran it, the really nice man who was the bat expert, he's a good person.
Yes.
So there's something weird there.
Yeah.
Something
I keep trying to key in the local newspapers, like, get on this, figure out what happened for all of us.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it seemed like it was doing good things. And then something happened there that was,
he
I don't
was
know exactly what.
And then,
follow the money.
So, but to go back to good Pontiac news and goat stuff. So if we wanted to go to goat yoga or the baby shower. Do we need to register in advance or can we
goat
just
yoga,
show up?
You can sign up for on our website, which is www.citygirls.farm.
Citygirls.farm.
Okay. And then the baby shower is just come and bring a gift. You don't have to respond or anything. We get big cakes from Costco. We'll be walking around with Steve.
And then with Steve, because that's what he does. So I'm sorry, you said with the stuff that you get for human babies, like if I go bring diapers, it goes to where?
Donated to Lighthouse of Oakland County.
Excellent.
To their PATH program.
Excellent.
Very cool.
I do want to make sure that I throw in something for Busted right now, too, talking about donations. We are always taking gently used bras, gently used clean bras for Support the Girls. And right now there's a big push for that. So if you have gently used clean bras that you'd like to donate for people who need bras, who are economically challenged, Support the Girls, which is a national organization, does come and pick them up from us regularly, and then we sort them and get them distributed to people in the local area.
And Support the Girls accepts feminine hygiene products, yes, and bras, correct?
Yes. We take all of that and make sure it gets distributed properly. Yeah.
Beautiful.
So, and Busted also has the Brides of March going on, which would Brides be about the time we should mention that again, given the
date.
yeah,
tomorrow would be the... Yeah, the Ides of March. So, yes, the Brides of March is going all through March, 20% off of bridal gear. So if you need anything, you know, even if you're just coming in for a white bra, you do not have to be a bride, but all the bridal wear is 20% off. Yeah, Brides of March. People, you know, I like the way that I come up with taglines.
That's beautiful.
Thank you very much.
The Brides of March. And Women Who Rock this weekend.
Black women.
Black women who rock.
Black women rock.
Black women rock.
Black women rock. Jessica Caremore. So we're one of the sponsors, and my accountant called me the other day and said, Lee, there's something weird on your checking account. Why did you send money to something that says Detroit Butt? And it took me a minute. I was like, Detroit Butt. The lady, excuse me, who runs Black Women Rock, she uses Detroit Butterfly.
Oh, how
funny. But it comes across on the credit card as Detroit Butt. Yeah, it was kind of like, nope.
I know there's a mushroom farm. I know there's some duck duck B&B, but a butt.
There's a duck.
Different.
There's a duck B&B? We need to go to a duck B&B.
Suzanne Scoville.
You can go to a B&B and hang out with ducks.
Yeah, she's on the east side.
It's
like an Airbnb style,
it
I think.
Is. It's called the Duck and Roll Inn.
Duck and Roll Inn.
And she has a
oh my God, that's great.
An Easter party for the children in the neighborhood. Duck and roll.
Okay, I'd rather have like an Easter egg hunt.
I'd rather have a goat in, but the duck is fun.
Well, we'll work on the goat in. We'll get that going.
Amy, let's get a goat in going.
We see, we can, we can 3D print you a building and put it out in the pasture, and you could have an Airbnb for goats.
Can Lively make me a
robot?
Yes!
Yes!
A robotic
goat!
It all comes together.
Oh, I love it. All right, anyway. all kinds of amazing things. So we have a listener who lives in England regularly. She goes by the name June.
June. Was,
so hello, June.
Hi, June. We featured a sports bra a couple weeks back for June.
We did. Nick, would you hit red over there? And so June happened to be with my mom yesterday. So I just want to say, hey, I hope you enjoyed it and that you got to watch again and listen. And thank you for always listening. Bras, Bitches, and Balls next week.
Are we going to be on?
I'm
You're
not going to
be out
here.
Of town. Nick, are we going to be on?
I'm going to be in Mexico.
I can find a guest. We can be. I can find a guest.
We'll figure it out.
We'll let you guys know if next week is going to be a thing. The week after, in 2 weeks, we'll definitely be here. I'll be building a place in Chicago, but come back just for Bras, Bitches, and Balls. I'm kidding, but I am coming back. And then go back down to Chicago to continue building said store. Don't worry, Busted Bra Shop is going to be taking over the world. Right, Lise?
Yes.
Taking over the world.
Taking over the world. One state at a time.
One state at a time. And then we'll bring goats. All right. if you have something that you'd like us to put on the podcast, please let us know. If you have a guest that you'd like to have on the podcast, please let us know. I've had people coming up to me and making suggestions and making connections. So that's fun. I want to thank Karen and Amy
for both coming on.
I can't wait to read the new book and to get it. And I think it's a great glove box gift.
Yeah.
Put it in your glove box. How big? Is it about the same size
it's
as your BetterMate?
It's going to be a little soft covered or, you know, easy to throw in the car and drag along and force your friends to go see Detroit with you.
Beautiful. I think it's amazing. Amazing.
And go see the goats.
Oh, I'm going to the goats.
Jessica, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
Awesome.
Never boring.
Nick, Lisa, we're out of here.